Today I begin with the series myself into this, and I appreciate Ron launching it. The series titled, The Least I Can Do. It was the least I could do to send a video in. There's a lot of people living in the least. There's a lot of people that kind of have missed out on bigger things that God has for them. And my question this morning to you is, whatever. Maybe it's a statement to you this morning, whatever. Have you ever had anybody say to you, whatever? That's one of those condescending words, isn't it? Before I go there, my wife and I took a date night the other night. It's the first one in a while. And when we were walking out the door at 6 o'clock to go out to dinner, we have a demon-possessed cat. And whenever it hears the door, it runs for the door to get outside because evil and good cannot coexist. And if anybody would like a kitten, we have one with all the fixings that go with it, okay? And I'm serious. You can ask. My daughter rescued it from the beach. It's a rescue cat. It's yours if you'd like. It's a beautiful black cat. It went out the door as we're on our way to our date. I'm so excited. We're going out to dinner, and the cat gets outside. The problem is, the cat, when it goes outside, doesn't just go out there where you can go, come here, kitty, go back inside. It runs and heads for a tree. It goes for the same tree in our front yard, and usually it only goes about 8 feet up the tree where I can go over and I can reach up and I can grab it as it has its claws deeply sunk into the bark. And I take it in the house. Not this time. The cat goes outside, goes up the tree about 2.5 stories, and went, oh no. My youngest daughter looks, she goes, Daddy, you've got to get the cat down. I said, no, I got to go out to dinner. I'm on a date. She goes, please, please, would you please get the cat down? Please. I have a daughter, too, we'd like to give away. Not. I received her. We'll take her. She gave me those eyes, so I did my best. I said, here, kitty, kitty. And the cat didn't come down. I said, it's not working. We're going. She goes, Dad, you got to try harder than that. So I said, meow, meow. And the cat on the branch looked down at me, and it climbed higher. And I thought, I'm not climbing this tree. I'm going out to dinner. And she says, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to leave it there. Maybe God wants that kitten to learn a lesson. So I'm leaving. Don't worry about it. It'll come down eventually. We left. We're gone for a few hours. We're having a great time out of town at dinner. We're on our way back, and the phone rings. It's my daughter, about 9 o'clock. Daddy, the cat's still in the tree. He won't come down. And I thought, good. I said, well, maybe he'll stay up there all night and he'll learn not to run outside. And she starts about crying. She says, Daddy, can I call 911 and have the fire department come get the cat out of the tree? And I said, no, I don't want people reading this in the newspaper that the pastor has a fire ladder out there getting it. I said, no, honey, we're going to be home in a little bit. I'll get the cat. But, Dad, he'll freeze to death. He'll die. No. And I said, I'll be home. I'll get him down. I'll be home. And I hung up. And I'm thinking, I need a net and a BB gun. I'm just kidding. Some of you are sitting there thinking, this guy's really serious. No, I'm not. My wife was in the car. I wouldn't do that. We got home, and I see leaning against our house a big net, and I'm thinking, somebody got the idea. Where's the BB gun? And the kids from the whole neighborhood come running up to my car. Pastor, Pastor, you're not going to believe it. I thought, uh-oh, what happened? They said, you're not going to believe it, but after Abby hung up with you, we decided, now these are all the kids who came to our vacation Bible school in the neighborhood, great kids. And they said, we thought, hey, let's pray and ask God to get the cat out of the tree. I said, really, what happened? They go, the cat, we prayed and said amen, and the cat fell out of the tree. And I have in my mind this picture, and Lord, would you get the cat out of the tree? Flick, whee, Thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, two and a half stories out of this tree, where's the cat? Cat was fine. It has 8 lives left, but the cat's fine. You'd like it. It's a cat with 8 guarantees. The little kids were looking at me and they said, "What do you think happened?" I said, "Well, what I think happened is God answered your prayer." They said, "That's what we think too, Pastor." And I said, "God answered your prayer." Now, there are some people who would say, "Whatever." I've seen people healed, and some people would say, "Whatever." I've seen people's finances change, and people would say, "God did this," and other people would look at them and say, "God, whatever." You see, when you talk about the least that people do, oftentimes I have people come to me and they'll say, "Oh, I'm praying and God's just not listening. Why isn't God listening to me?" And I'll say, "Well, what are you sensing when you're reading His Word? What is God speaking to you about?" And, "Well, I'm not reading the Bible right now. I haven't read it in a while." Well, what happened? How's God speaking to you in church? Is He saying something to you about it in the sermons? Or is God working in your life? "Well, I haven't been in church in a while, but I don't understand why God's not working in my life." Because when you do the least, it's the least I can do. Why would we expect God to do great things in our lives? You see, the Scripture says, Jesus says, in verse 11, He says, "Thomas, don't you believe me? Where have you been all this time?" And in verse 11, He says, "I am in the Father, and the Father, He's in me." In fact, Jesus said, "Everything you've seen me do, you're going to do also. And if you have faith, you'll do even..." And write this, underline this in your Bible, 2 words. "And you'll do greater things." How many of you want to have greater things in your life instead of least things? That's where I'm at in my life. I'm saying, "God, I want to have greater things." If God, you care about a cat in a tree, and somebody might look and say, "Whatever." They're living in that least part of their faith. They're saying, "You know what? I'm just going to have the least things happen in my life." In fact, the Bible refers to this. You might see this happen. Bless me for what? Are you blessing me because I was going to sneeze? Or was it the least that you could do? Because when someone sneezes, you know where that comes from. Gesundheit, which is German, and it comes back from an old pagan religion. When somebody would sneeze, they believed that your spirit would leave your body. And before your spirit could come back into your body, you'd have to be blessed so that it wasn't unclean. So thank you for that pagan blessing. But that's not what you meant. You meant, "Bless you." I mean, it's the least we can do when someone sneezes. Now, you could have gotten me a tissue. You could have given me some money to go get some medicine that I probably don't need because I was faking it. The least I can do. You might see someone when you're driving down the street and they might be broke down and you roll down your window and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." Hey, it's the least I can do. Right? It's the least I can do. You might even roll down the window and say, "Hey, would you like to use my cell phone?" It's the least. Or you can move into greater things. You can pull over and you could say, "I know I was on my way, I'm going to be late, but hey, can I help you? Let me help you change that tire. Do you need a ride somewhere?" And they say, "Sure. I live in Grand Rapids. That would be great." And all of a sudden you've moved into greater things instead of least things. When did Christians start walking in little things instead of great things? In fact, if you look at the Bible and the things that Jesus did, He said, "Greater things will you do than you've seen me do." Well, that's walking on water, healing the sick, raising the dead, having parties at sinners' houses so that their hearts might be changed, ministering to the unloving, and going to lepers' colonies and touching them. Having his feet washed with perfume by a prostitute. And He said, "Greater things will you do." Think about the things that you read about in the Bible and what Christians do today. Is there a great chasm? Is there a paradox of Christians today and what they're doing as opposed to Christians in the Bible? And Jesus says, "Greater things will you do than you've seen me do." When did we quit doing greater things? When did life change in the church. God help us to begin walking in greater things. Now, somebody says, well, that's a whatever passage. You know what a whatever passage is? There are passages in the Bible where people say, whatever. I've had people say that to me. Whatever. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Whatever. You can do all things. Whatever. If God is for me, who in the world can be against me? And people look at that and go, come on, Pastor. Whatever. You know what? Whatever is in our house, whatever will get you grounded in our house. You know, whatever is a condescending type term that says, you have the authority to tell me to clean my room or to do this or to take care of the dishes or to ground me. And as you walk away, if under your breath you say, whatever. That's not a good word in our house. And I don't think it's a good word in the household of God. When God says, greater things will you do than you've seen me do, and the church goes, whatever. God, do we really believe that? Do we really believe what the Bible says? And if there's a great gap between the two, how do we bridge that gap and say, God, I want to walk into greater things? That's what this series is about for the next several weeks. I want to walk in greater things. The last 2 weeks, I woke up every morning just thinking about that, saying, God, you have greater things for me today. Don't let me walk in little things. Why am I walking in the least things? Why am I not taking time out and spending with you today, God? I think about that because in this scripture, there's a couple things I want to just bring to your attention. And this is very profound. You may want to jot this down. I have two things I want to say this morning. Number one is this, that your potential in Christ is always greater than your achievement in Christ. Maybe nudge someone next to you, make sure they're awake. Your potential in Christ is greater, always greater than your achievement. Well, how is that, Pastor? Well, what it means is this. If I see someone broken down, I can stop and pray for them. Now, that's my achievement. My potential is always greater. I can stop and I can change that tire. I can stop. I remember I saw a couple gals broke down at the mall one night, late at night, and I thought, oh boy, I was picking up my son from work, and I thought, oh, they're broke down. And I stopped. I had to get him. It was late at night, and I thought, what am I going to get myself into? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to go help them. They don't know what they're doing. They're in trouble. I stopped and said, ladies, can I help you? Is there anything? And I introduced myself. I said, don't be nervous. I said, I'm a pastor. But they said, yeah, our car won't start, and we need to get home to take care of the babysitters, and we're not sure what we're going to do. And I said, all right, where do you live? We'll give you a ride home. Well, we live, and it was about 15 miles away. We took them, and I said, what are you going to do? They said, we don't know what we're going to do. I said, well, maybe you need a taxi or something. And I reached in my pocket. I grabbed a little bit of cash to help them out and dropped them off. Never saw them again. Didn't say, hey, now since you did this, you ought to come to Grace Ministry Church. Since you did this, you need to know this. I just said, I just want you to know God didn't abandon you here. For whatever reason, I'm here at this time, and the Holy Spirit told me to help you. So I just want you to know, God sent me to help you. That's all I want you to know. And that was pretty much the message. Nothing more, nothing less. Now in that, I want to walk into something greater in things. We can walk in the least that I can do and say, well, I'm praying for you. You need a phone? No, got a cell phone. No problem. See you later. And left them in the parking lot. Now you guys know the story not long ago when I passed someone. I was on my way to church and it happened to be Brother Ron. I did see him and he was broke down and I drove right on by him. If you didn't know it, you know it now. And that turned out to be a pretty good sermon, right to my heart. It's so easy to live in the least. And Jesus said this, if a man asks you for a shirt, give him your jacket as well. If a man wants you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. He's saying, listen, if someone wants to live, have you live in the least of these things, live in the greater things. If somebody wants you to live here, step up and find out the power of God and that awesome feeling it is to know you're walking in a faith that's well beyond you. In the next few weeks, we're going to study different areas. But your potential is always greater than your achievement. I'll give you the perfect verse. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. This is to us, folks. It went to the church of Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 20. Excuse me, in chapter 3, verse 20. And Ephesians 3:20 says this, Now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably. Well, how much is immeasurably? And here's what God wants to do in our lives. When Jesus said greater things, then Paul turns around and says that God wants to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now, how much is that? Well, here's what I can ask. God, I would love for this community to know Jesus Christ. God, I want this community full of jobs, full of work, full of marriages and children that are healed, that are getting along. God, I'd like to see this church filled. This morning in first service, by the way, if you like 9 a.m., come on out. There were about 15 or 20 of us to start our first 9 o'clock. But I said to them the same thing. I could see us taking this wall down and extending it. God, that this place is so full, we'll have to go to 3 services. God, I want to reach people for Christ, that every seat is full, that we're not baptizing 19 at the beach service, but maybe 190. God, I can imagine this. And he says, what can you imagine? I'm imagining right now. And he says, I'll do more than this in your life. I'll do greater things. I don't want to live in the least of these things. Well, I hope people show up today. I hope we can keep the doors open next week. I hope teenagers show up Wednesday night. I hope young men and women will commit their hearts to Christ, find the courage to stand up in their school and say, you know what? There's a lot of crap that goes on in this school, but I'm not going to bow down or back down to the faith I have in God. I'm walking in greater things. I hope adults would take the courage and men will rise up and say, you know what? I got a lot of stuff that happens at work. I'm so tired when I come home, but I'd like to sit down and read the Word with my family and pray that God would bless my home. I can imagine these things happening. Our children, 25 kids came out. I can imagine 100 children. We're going to need another building down the wing just for our kids' ministry, because children are finding Jesus Christ. I can imagine this. And God says, I'm glad you can. I'll do immeasurably more than that. I can imagine my family being completely debt-free, that the church won't have a burden to have to pay me, and we can use that money to send missionaries around the world. I can imagine these things. What can you imagine? And God says, I'm glad you can. Now let me tell you something. I can do greater things than Christ did. I can't imagine saying, hey, Jeff, go on down to the pond and catch the first fish. In it, you're going to find a 5-pound gold piece. And what gold's worth, buddy, you and I are going to be rich. Jesus did that. Can you imagine it? Whatever. Are you going to be condescending to God? Whatever. Are you going to walk in that place and say, I can. I can see doing greater things. See, the problem is, our potential is always greater than our achievement. The problem is this. Here's the second thing that I think is very profound. If you write these 3 words down, you'll make me happy. These 3 words right here. God never changes. That's as profound as I can get. You see, there are people who believe when Jesus said these words, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father's in me. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith will do what I've been doing. But he says, at least believe on the miracles. Do you know that over half the churches in the world, Christian churches in the world, are what we would call dispensational churches? A dispensational belief is this, that at the cross, when Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, he took with him every miracle that there is, that there are no such thing as miracles or the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he did with Jesus. And then I read my Bible and say, no, I'm not a dispensationalist. That is so not true biblically, because your Bible says in verse 11, if you look at that, believe me, I'm sorry, let's go to verse 12. I tell you the truth. What's the next word? I tell you the truth. Anyone. He didn't say the early church. He didn't say the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. He said anyone. Turn to someone next to you and say, anyone. Are you with me? Anyone. You're anyone. And the question is, when are you going to walk on water? When are you going to stop slugging it out with sin in this world and start walking on water? When's the next time you're going to stand up and say, this high school, this junior high is my school? And in the name of Christ, Satan, you have no authority. We're about to take this thing by the power of Christ. You know what? It's going to start with one warrior or one princess of God walking as a child of God. When are we going to act like He rose from the dead and He's not still on the cross? Let's take Him off the jewelry and get Him in our hearts. Let's get Him changed in our houses. When's the next time we're going to say, not in this household anymore? Those fights are over, Satan. In this household, we're going to put Christ in the preeminence where He belongs. We've got to get to the place that we say, anyone will do these things. When's the last time you walked on water? I did last year in January. My daughter goes, you can't walk on water. I said, I did in January, right on our pond. That's not fair. I said, no, miracles are about timing. You got to be in the right time, the right place at the right time. Can I walk on water today? Absolutely not. Do I want to walk on water? Absolutely not. Am I trying to glorify God or myself? That's the question. See, God does miracles when He needs miracles to bring Himself glory. Not for you to say, look, I'm a healer. Look, I'm a prophet. Look, I'm this. God doesn't care what you are. God cares where it'll bring glory to Him and lives will be changed and touched. Dispensationalists, we act. So many act as though they see these miracles and go, whatever. I will say this. I've seen people healed of just about everything. I believe in healing. We pray for healing. I've got so many of you that have been healed. You've got records. You show doctors records and they look and say, it's a miracle. I've even seen a dead girl that the doctor said was dead rise from the dead. She just graduated high school. And I can't explain it. I don't try to explain it, but I do know this. When Jesus said, what you've seen me do, you will do an even greater things. And I found this. We've become complacent in the easiness of the little things, the least of things, and I think we've gotten afraid of greater things. What will people say? Well, they'll say, God is alive. He's moving. He changes lives. I need a healing. I need a touch. I need a changed heart. I'm looking for a church that believes it. Walking in greater things. These poor disciples, Thomas said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Thomas, how long have you been with me? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No more miracles. That's what some say. And I say, God never changes. He can't. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He will be the same tomorrow. He's immutable. That's His attribute. That's a term for His character. He cannot change. And if God healed then, and He heals today, He's going to heal tomorrow. If God moves and changes hearts by salvation then, and He'll do it today, He'll do it tomorrow. God never changes. So of course He heals. Of course He does these things. And I love what He says to Thomas. Thomas, at least believe the miracles. If you don't believe anything else, watch. That's an amazing statement. I would say to you, don't get fooled by miracles. Because people can do some pretty interesting things these days to trick us. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff all the time. In fact, I have a little surprise next week you'll want to see that will blow your mind. I guarantee you. Young girl came up to me Wednesday night and she said her heart got challenged. And she came up to me at the youth center and she said, Pastor, I want this year to, let me read it. Quote. I wrote down the quote. I want this to be my year with God. I want God to rock my world. I said, you got it. And she said, how am I going to do it? And I said, two ways. I said, number one, you let God saturate your life. What? I said, you let God saturate your life. You ever been saturated with something? You ever get saturated, dunked in something? And you're going to get wet because you got saturated. I said, you got to let God saturate your life. You can't let Him sprinkle on your life. You want this to be the year that God rocks your world? Then you have got to let Him absolutely reign. No, you can't let Him reign. You got to have Him take you and dip you into the pool, into the ocean of His grace and mercy. You have got to let God take you in His Word and immerse you so deep that you know everything that is about God. That you say, I can't put this down. I'm so immersed into God's Word that you'll say the very words of Jesus in verse 11. He said, don't you know I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I'll tell you, you do that, God will rock your world. And she looked at me, she goes, how do I do? I said, you get into the Word, you spend time in prayer and meditation. You take all that time and you just let God get in. You get the Word of God through the music you listen to. Saturate yourself. Saturate yourself. Don't just let it get on your skin. When you get saturated, it starts going through all the corpuscles. It gets into the veins. It starts pumping through your body. It carries the oxygen with God right through into your brain. You're thinking God. You're smelling God. You're hearing God. You're tasting God. You say, that's not biblical. Oh, the Bible says in the Proverbs, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let God get in you and be like Jesus said, the Father's in me and I am in the Father. I've been saturated. What will that do? It will change your life and you'll move into greater things. And I told her one more thing, and I share this with you. This is what you can do too. I said, one more thing. She goes, what's that? I said, do you have a mirror? She kind of smiled. Of course, I have a mirror. And I'm sure you all do too. I'm looking at your pretty faces. You got ready this morning. I'm sure you looked, at least most of you looked into a mirror this morning. I hope you all looked into a mirror this morning. You looked into a mirror and you looked at your face and you decided how you were going to look today. You decided to fix your hair, whatever you did, or your makeup or whatever it is. And you got yourself ready. You put on an outfit. You decided this is what I'm going to do today. Here's my challenge. And I said this to this young lady. I said, you go to your mirror before one day passes and you write up in big letters these words. You write, God, I'm that girl. She says, what do you mean? I said, when you write that up on your mirror every morning when you wake up, you're going to remind yourself that you're living in greater things, that this is the year that God's going to change your life. And she says, how so? I said, when you look at that, say, God, I'm that person. Lord, I'm that person. You're looking for someone to do greater things. God, I want to walk in my life in that kind of faith that says life is going to happen and Jesus Christ is going to be brought into this world through my life. Everywhere I go, the faith of God is going to walk with me. You see, I can't necessarily change the entire world. I can't necessarily change this entire community. I can't necessarily change this church. I can't even change my wife. And she can't change me. But the one thing I can do is I could say, God, change me. And I could say, God, I'm that guy. And every time I wake up, I look at that in the mirror. And before my day even starts, I'm already saying, God, greater things. Greater things today. I'm ready for greater things. I don't know about you. I'm tired of the least things. I want to walk in greater things. I can't imagine what God will do in your home, in your family, in your school, in your community if we all step up to the plate and say, God, greater things. With that being said, I can't wait for the next several weeks as we look at individual things of greater things in worship, greater things in prayer. Men, we're going to take a whole Sunday. Ladies, you won't want to miss it to say, men, I want to live in greater things as a man, as a husband. I want to be a greater man for God. Ladies, I'm asking my wife to come up and share on a Sunday about being a greater woman of God. We're going to talk about these things. What does it mean to be in greater things? What will that do to us as a people if we can live in greater things? You have two choices this morning. Number one, you could say those verses are whatever. Or you could take it home and let it change your life. And begin today walking in greater things. Would you stand with me?